What's up, everybody? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And we are back for episode 2 of MTV's official challenge podcast, where we're going to go behind the scenes of the brand new season of The Challenge, Double Agents.
Okay, folks, before we begin, you should know that this podcast is not spoiler free. So before we go behind the scenes, make sure you're up to date on the latest challenge episodes. You've been warned.
And now that we got that out of the way, on this episode, we'll be talking about Anissa and Fessy's second win on the challenge.
Yes! Not one, but two.
Killing it. The new budding romance is in the house and trying to understand what the hell was going on with Joseph's workout.
Still don't know. Still don't even know about that. Plus, we'll be joined by challenge legend and WWE champ, The Miz, later in this episode, and make sure you stick around to the end to hear listener questions and a secret from the episode during Challenge Confidential.
Yes, sorry. Should we just get this stuff started?
Yeah, let's get started, Tor.
So just like last week, we are going to get into the episode as soon as possible. But before we do, we have a few fun segments to get you guys caught up. So first, we're going to do a segment called Safe House, where we are going to share our no filter, no consequences recap in 36 seconds.
Yes.
To honor the 36th season. And then we are also going to get into the play of the day and the dirtiest deed.
You're the dirtiest deed.
All right, Anissa, you're the vet here, so you go first, baby.
All right. Well, I was partnered up with Fessy, and that was cool. Everybody knew that. We did what we could. We made it happen. That water was cold as shit. And your girl pulled off a W again with her self-absorbed partner, Fessy. But who cares? Because we still fucking won, and we are safe from elimination. That's 36 seconds. That's what I saw.
Wow. Not bad. Not bad.
Totally only about the challenge, not about the whole episode, but it's okay.
I'll use my 36 seconds to get the recap of the last part of the episode.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. So after Anissa and Fessy won that challenge and kicked everybody's butts, we went back into the house. We all deliberated. Joseph got this bravado out of nowhere and was like, I'm going to go take out the best and the baddest in the game, but I don't want to do it up front. So low key, everybody throw me a bone and throw him in and let me see if I'm ready to go in. We're all like, what? That's not going to happen. So they threw Wes into Joseph into elimination. He got blindsided. Then Anissa and Fessy put Kyle into elimination against him, and that shit was a wrap because Joseph went home packing his bags.
All right. Whew. That was good.
Yeah, was it? I don't know.
I mean, it was good. You were getting there. I mean, you got a lot more in. Mine was more about me. Yours is more about the episode.
I had a brain aneurysm trying to do all that so quickly. It's okay. Oh my gosh. This episode was absolutely nuts, though. I mean, Anissa, I can't believe that you and Fessy won another one. You guys crushed it. That water was...
I can believe it.
I can too, but that water was so cold. They do not do it enough justice on this episode.
No, they said the 1 degree glacier water that you were going to be swimming in. And I thought, pulling up, I'm like, you can see the tires on the boat. We can walk there. No, you can't walk there. You could walk for 2 seconds. And then, not even to mention that hill that we had to run down to get into the water wasn't even safe.
Yes.
So that shit was cold. I had brain freeze the whole time. I couldn't even breathe the minute I hit the water.
Same. I literally looked over to Leroy and Cam as soon as I saw that tire sitting on that glacier. I'm like, oh, it's high knees, everybody. We got to high knee this shit over to the boat. Wrong. The moment you stepped into that water, you fell off a cliff, man. Like, where did the floor go? It was gone.
Why were our brains thinking the same thing? They were like, yeah, we're just going to foxtrot across that. We'll be fine. No, you're going to have to be flipper and get over there.
Absolutely. That shit was so cold. And they barely touch on it a little bit when Michi turns into a Meechsicle and literally cannot move anymore because he has no body fat on him. So somebody like his muscles are going to completely tense up. He froze up in that water. But like, that's only a glimpse of what it looked like to be there. It was
horrible. Amber was freezing too. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people without any body fat, but like, it was cold to people with body fat. I mean, every time I jumped in off that boat, Fessy's like, yo, jump in. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, we swam that 4 or 5 times. Like,
oh, yeah.
No one knows that either. You don't even see that, him picking me up like a newborn kitten, picking me up just by my life vest. Look, shout out to Fessy, because I'm not a little girl, and he was picking me up with one hand. Thank you, sir. Okay, thank you.
I gotta give
for making me feel like a tiny child.
I gotta give him credit though, because in the middle of the game, in the middle of you guys getting those ice blocks, he was the one that stopped to help Michi to get him back to land. I'm like, yo, Fessy might be cocky, but low key, in the middle of a game, if you can help somebody else who might be drowning, that's noble.
Right. Right. I was like, there is a good man inside. Because when he stopped, he was like, yo, niece, hold this 70-pound ice block. I was like, oh, yeah, I got it. No worries. Don't mind me. Dude. And I'm like, save him. Make sure he's alive. But I'm going to bring this ice block in with me a little
bit. Totally. I mean.
I was out with ice block.
Totally. I mean, that was heavy. And the funniest thing to me about that challenge that people obviously are not going to know is the moment we put on our wetsuits, Corey, it was like 2 seconds before TJ was about to blow the horn, Corey's butt snapped the wetsuit and his ass crack popped out of it, and he had to change wetsuits literally 2 seconds before production blew that horn to go. We were losing,
and it was taking us forever because they gave us like the wrong size life vests for me because I am 36D. There is no small life vest in the world that's going to fit me. That's not going to happen. How many seasons have I done? Boobs haven't gone anywhere, folks. I need a life vest that's going to fit your girl. So we're trying to look for that. Then I need to find a wetsuit that fits, because a lot of the girls were tall but thin but needed something that was going to cover their ankle. Like, it was a lot to get a wetsuit.
Totally.
Just get your whole outfit to fit.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was tough, but you guys pulled out W. So honestly, I got to give the play of the day to you and your team. And then also Fessy for helping Michi. Like, you guys were able to halt your game to help out a player that needed help and still motherfucking win the challenge. Like, I know.
It was great.
People can't sleep on that. That's something special right there. Yeah, so that was crazy. But what do you think the play of the day was?
I mean, I don't know if this was the best athletic move, but he wanted to be an athlete. My play of the day is really going to go to the OTF of the day, the on the fly of the day. That's the interview right before we compete. Goes to Nelly T for calling himself Scuba Nelly T.
They don't call me Scuba Nelly for no reason. I've been practicing my swimming. Your boy has became an excellent swimmer.
He did not swim like Scuba Steve.
Oh, God.
Poor guy. Once again, the Nelsicle. Mm-hmm. You know, he was out. I didn't watch him swim because I was too busy being Flipper. But the fact that he called himself Scuba Nelly T.
And not only did he call himself that, he's like, man, that's why they call me Scuba Nelly.
They don't call me Scuba Nelly for no reason.
I said,
yeah. No one ever called you that. Who called you that?
When did that happen?
Are you on a swim club somewhere? Like in a swim team that we don't know about? And they have a nickname for you?
Oh my God, that shit.
You know they call me Smooth Scuba Nelly T. First it was Double O Nelly T. Now it's Scuba.
I live for Nelson's commentary. I don't ever want him to leave.
I do too.
He should have a book of just Nelly phrases.
Nelly from the heart. Like just a whole bunch of shit that Nelson says. But I will say the dirtiest deed and the best move was Fessy pulling me in the middle of me trying to like hammer away at this ice block. Be like, yo, slow down, sis. Slow down. We're about to do this and make them all kill each other and put kills in each other's things. And then we're not going to get any. Nobody's putting stuff in ours. I'm like, do we really want to do this? Can we do this? It was the smartest kind of manipulative, weird thing before. But I trusted him and I listened to him. And normally I would have been like, no, Fess, let's just, you know, play this out. But what we did was we made sure all of our friends were near each other and the people in our humongous alliance. If you didn't know, half of that semicircle was an alliance.
Oh, for sure.
Of like interchanging parts.
It's crazy because they didn't even show they didn't show you guys picking the order, but that was the advantage that you had in this game. When we pulled up to this challenge, TJ was like, okay, Anissa and Fessy, you pick where people are standing. So you guys were able to protect yourselves and us because you put us in a really good spot.
I put you right next to me.
Yeah.
Because I could watch yours.
Yeah.
Maybe play defense. Who knows?
We were in a good spot. So people don't even realize like how calculated it was for all of us to be standing next to each other. And that's why we got lucky. At the very end, people are like, oh, what's going on here? Nobody knows where they want to put the kill. Well, it's because we were all working together.
Your lips look like a blue raspberry, like Slurpee. Oh, you were like, I'm cold. I'm like, Tor, you know you're safe if I win. Corey's safe if I win. Unless he wanted to go in or you wanted to go in. I would give that to you immediately before anybody else. And you knew that. Then I also have like, I had Devin and Wes next to each other because they were working together. And Devin stops in the middle of the thing. He's like, if you don't put a kill in, I'll look out for you. Like he told me if I didn't mess with him that time, he owed me. That's the second time he owed me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep racking up these OUs because one thing Devin's good at is keeping his word far. So, you know, I don't think it was too crazy, but sheesh, we were putting the pressure on ourselves though to make these really big decisions.
Absolutely.
In the game.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was a crazy episode. And I'm just thankful that we got medics on site because we needed medics at the challenge for Michi and we needed medics at the elimination because what the fuck was Kyle throwing up?
I'm not sure, but we drink, you know? And you know that when we do a challenge on a Monday night, we're going to the club. When we go to the club, what's happening? Devin and Kyle are having some cold ones. And by cold ones, I mean, that's 12 to 16 beers, you know?
Yeah.
Some shots, whatever, some wine.
Yeah.
Kyle was hungover. The elimination's not till the next day. One, I think it's because Kyle didn't, you know, I don't know if people know Kyle's diabetic. So, like, I also felt bad about this. It's just, like, putting him in without him knowing. He has to get his sugar in, like,
yeah.
I felt awful for that. And then it was, like, you know, getting blindsided and then all of that adrenaline giving everything you have, you know, like your hardest workouts make you feel like you have to puke.
Absolutely.
So I think it was just a combination of a bunch of stuff.
Totally. I mean, it was crazy. And honestly, after, I think a lot of people thought they were safe and that's why they were drinking so much at night. Like Kyle thought he was sitting pretty. He thought everyone was going after Wes but he
didn't have to lie. And that's the only thing. Like we knew and no one else knew. And Nani even said, you know, I want a new partner. Now we've seen her actually say it. So don't look like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And the point was, if Kyle, if you lie, sometimes you're going to get blindsided. And it worked out to his benefit. He looked like a badass. He won. Do I expect him to do me any favors or look out for me in the future? No. But I knew that that was, you know, that's a part of the game. And I also didn't know if Fessy was going to take it. Like, we had a lot of stuff. Were we going to vote in Wes? Were we going to vote in?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know Wes and even Leroy had a thing going on.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many moving parts to all of this because you had the ability to see Kyle I because you saw his vote. Kyle told me to my face that he voted for Wes. So he lied to me too. That's the kind of player he is in this game. And whether or not it's like right or wrong, it does get him to the end many times. So he does play an incredible game because also when it comes down to it, he can fight his way through elimination. So I do give him a lot of credit, but it is interesting watching the truth come out when we rewatch these episodes, because in that moment I'm like, oh yeah, Kyle would never lie to me.
Yeah, right.
I was fucking wrong.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I think it's going to happen throughout the season. There are just going to be a lot of surprises. And that's the point of that secret vote. Like people felt really safe behind that secret vote.
Totally. I want to get into something spicy right now. Before we really dig deep into that elimination, I want to talk about Nam and Lolo. You got a front row seat of that. Tell me what it looked like and what it felt like in person.
Well, first of all, Lolo's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, like, let's just state that. And then Nam is like this beautiful, gentle soul inside of this statuesque, muscular body.
Whew.
And he's like soft-spoken and smart.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, my God, Nam, Nam, and Nam, Nam, Nam. I told him all the bad shit in German. He was like, you know what that means? I'm like, yes, I do, and I mean it. All of it. But, I mean, according to the rumor mill, because I had walked in later, I don't know what happened. There was like almost a kiss and then it got awkward. And for him, he was like, I don't want to do this on camera, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that his morals and values may be a little bit different than ours. We're like, fuck it. Give me a kiss. Oh, there's a camera? Buy it. I don't care.
Okay, girl. I see you slide into those Nam DMs.
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Oh my God, you did. But not in a bad way.
You sent him a booty pic?
I think you're a great guy. Here's a picture of my tits. No, I think you're, and even if I did, it didn't matter, but I didn't. You're awesome. You know, he was just so kind and like super intuitive and, you know, so he's just a great guy.
Oh my gosh, he really is.
Nam, if you're listening, ich liebe dich. I'm going to learn more German.
I'm trying to stay away from challenge boys for a little bit. I got a lot going on.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Challenge girls, I feel like I'm like, okay, let's get it. But I got to stay away from the challenge guys. Too many.
Now, if we're going to go into this elimination, do you think, yes or no, that Joseph's crunches had anything to do with his performance.
Oh my God. If he doesn't get a sponsorship from Crunch Gym, then I think it was a complete...
I'm done.
I think it was a complete waste of, for him to do those, because what the fuck was he doing? What was he doing?
And in the living room. He could have gone in his room and done it prison style like we all were. Like, he could have done 100 or 200 abs. I'd do 1,000. Where? When? Come back with maybe 2,000 crunches. Now that'll win you a physical elimination with a ring.
Oh, my God.
I will say he did put up a great fight. There were points in that elimination that you don't see where I thought, like, he may get it. What they don't show is him giving the side eye and balling up his fists at Fessy. I'm like, oh, you don't want this smoke
from
either one of us.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you giving me the side eye? I'll come down and do this ring thing with you.
Yeah, he was triggered when he didn't get what he wanted. And everyone was kind of looking at him like, bro, you don't get to, like, this isn't your game. You don't get to say this is what I want and it happens. Like, you threw your name into the mix and guess what? The Wolves took that shit and ran with it. They were like, we're not going to give you the option. You're going in. You said you wanted to go in. You're going in. That's what happens. Yeah,
you can't say that. Don't speak.
No, you can't say that in the challenge. People
can't say anything.
The moment people hear somebody else wants to go in there, like, as long as it's not me, great. That's how it goes.
Every single time, never fails. If someone else says something, oh, yeah, you should totally vote for them. They want to go in. I heard it. They really want to go in, exactly. Especially if you hear them say it.
Exactly.
And we have footage.
It's a death sentence. Idiot. Yeah, it's
crazy. So, Joseph, word to the wise, if you do come back, don't ever... ever, unless you really want to get voted in by the whole house, say that you want to go in.
Well, it's better than him lying, because a lot of people were in that house and they were lying their faces off. Wes was going up to people asking to be the janitor on the Alliance. That was crazy. Did you?
Like, I would feel bad watching that and being him. Like, did you really have to do? They don't even show the conversation that I had with Wes for 30 minutes of, like, you are my friend. It really hurt my feelings that you voted me in the first time. Him talking about me and, you know, Fessy and I voting him in the first challenge. The first elimination. And that whole conversation of, like, we've been friends for 15 years and why would you do this? And I'm like, I don't trust you. I don't know where your loyalties lie. And it's like, you make alliances with everybody and these promises. You're only one person.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, some people play that game like that. Like, we know Kyle lies. We got to see a lot of that this episode. We know Wes does. And that's why we're going to get into a segment where we are playing Two Truths and a Lie challenge style. So right now, I'm going to read you two truths and a lie. And you have to guess which one is the lie. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, I get nervous poops before every challenge. Number two, I don't eat before eliminations. Number three, I missed my family more than I missed my cat. Which one's the lie?
Number three is definitely a lie. You missed your cat more than your family.
You know me. You know I take nervous poops.
Well, the challenge, we pull up and it's like a natural laxative.
It's crazy.
It's like a shot to your colon. You're like, oh, fuck, we don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, Tor, are you ready to see if you know me with these... two truths and a lie.
Give it to me.
All right. I ate a pancake or two for breakfast in the challenge house. I never wear underwear on challenge days. I stole your satin pillowcase.
Okay. Shit. I know you ate a pancake or two because we called them the pancakes of Christmas. What did we call them?
Christmas spirit?
Because those pancakes looked like they came out of a gingerbread house.
Yeah, and they also were shaped like snowflakes almost. They were beautiful.
So I know you ate those pancakes because I was eating them with you. Stealing my satin pillowcase, I feel like you had your own, but I don't know if you did steal my satin pillowcase. And I don't think you wear underwear at the challenge, though. So I really don't know. I'm going to guess you didn't steal my pillowcase. I'm going to guess the lie is that you stole my pillowcase.
You are right.
Yay.
Okay, so I never wear underwear. It's just a thing. It's weird. You already have leggings on. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't steal your pillowcase, but.
Who did?
I walked in the room and this person did not tell you, but Leroy had it.
This motherfucker. I'm about to hit him up right now. This motherfucker. Oh, he is done. So, he is dead to me.
I know. So I had to kind of keep that a secret because I didn't notice. And then I was like, it's so good for my skin and hair.
Leroy, you don't know. You didn't even know
Cam
you were on
told
satin.
Him that. Cam told him that. For sure.
He was like, you know it just appeared on my bed. I'm like, all right, bro. Whatever you got to say. Whatever you got to say. I won't tell Tori right now because she may get upset, but, you know.
Honestly, that's two things.
He let me in on that secret.
That's two things that people definitely don't know who watch a challenge. Number one, we do get catered food, so we don't get to choose what we get. So when we get pancakes that look like Christmas morning, we are thrilled because it just warms our heart. And the other thing is when the cleaning ladies or men, whoever does it, comes through and cleans our house, they take some stuff and they move it off our beds and they move it onto other people's beds. So like half the time we're looking for our shit because it's been put on Leroy's bed or something like that. And the other half of the time we have somebody else's stuff and we're like, this is kind of good. I might hold on to this.
Right. I'm like, whose Lulu headband is this? They were like, it's Casey's. I'm like, oh, I don't know. All right, let me go ask her. She'll be like, it's not mine. I'm like, okay, I guess it's mine. Yeah. Just ask one person. That's all you got to do. You know?
Exactly. Oh, man. So crazy.
All right, Tori. Well, we just found out that you're a terrible, terrible liar. But there is somebody who's good at stretching the truth, perhaps playing a character who has definitely spent some time on the challenge making a name for himself, but an even bigger name in the WWE world. That is the one and only Miz. We are going to be talking to him about what he thought of this episode and what's going on with the Miz.
Totally. I mean, he is such a cool person. Not only was he a challenger, he ended up hosting two of the challenge Champs vs. Stars. We were lucky enough to be on that season with him. And now you see him doing WWE in his own show. This man is just climbing up that ladder. And it's so cool to see somebody who started off in our shoes to watch them bloom. So I'm so excited to dive into his brain and see what's going on.
We have The Miz here. You've seen him on WWE. He got his start on The Real World. He did some challenges. He won some challenges. And now he's just being a super, super hot dad, husband, WWE star. I mean, everything. Definitely a guy that I'd want as my partner on one of these shows.
Oh,
wow, now that's a huge compliment. Like the WWE superstar, great. Dad, you know, husband, okay, whatever. But to literally be a guy that's like, I want him as my partner on a challenge, that's where you is the coup de grace, I guess you could say.
Totally. You're just,
I love you. I think you're great.
And you're versatile, man. You've got it all going on. I mean, I remember meeting you on Champs vs. Stars, watching you host that shit, and keeping people in their place while hosting. I mean, that's a hard job to do.
That was ridiculous. Like, that Champs vs. Stars was a job. They would give me like 20 pages. Like, I was always like, whenever I'd watch, like, who are my hosts? My hosts were like Dave Mira. And then
Johnny Mosley.
That's it. Johnny Mosley. And I'd be like, why are they like, you know, I'd be like, this seems like the easiest job in the world. Then I had to actually have the job and they'd give you like 20 pages before, like the day, the night before. And you're like, I got to memorize this. Like, no, you don't have to memorize it. I'm like, no, you got to memorize it because with the cast, like you guys have attention spans of like 3 seconds. If you fumble words, then you're getting made fun of the entire time. You have no respect. So I was like, you need to come on point. You need to go, because we don't have that much time.
Yeah.
So, when I that was a huge job, and it was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. And honestly, this show just keeps getting better and better and better. Like, they just keep coming up with new rules and new games that keep you wanting to see more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you just said, like, with these new games and upping the ante, I guess, competitor-wise. So let's take that focus and put it on Double Agents.
Great.
You saw the second episode.
Yes.
You can see the players now. If you were on that show, who would you want as your partner?
Look at my muscles.
My partner? Well, of course, you two, of course. Yeah. Number one.
You don't have to say it because you're here. We're not going to shame
gosh,
you.
Gosh, who would I want? You always think like Killer Cam is very good in these games. You know, you just don't know in these sort of situations. You got to take a person that's versatile, that's very good. I was shocked to see Ashley go so quick. And you know what's funny? When I was watching and I was like, when Natalie had the opportunity to switch with Wes.
Yeah.
I was looking at the guys and I was like, if I was her, would I want to switch? And my answer was no.
Ooh.
And the reason being is that, one, Wes is very good at the game. He's always rambling around in the finals, and he's good at those one-on-one competitions. So he's going to get a gold skull. He has the cojones to do it, and he's very good at doing it, and he plays the game very well. No matter how much people think he's sneaky and snaky and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. like what Kyle did was a little bit even more sneaky and shadier, but he does it with a smile.
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah. Oh, Kyle, it's just Kyle. I love what you did, Anissa. I was like, damn right, Anissa, that's what you do. You get rid of this guy. He lied to your face. You know he did. And then you don't tell anyone. Oh, I was like, yeah, Anissa, get it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Anissa killed that.
Tori, you didn't know, right? You didn't know that, like, no. He was lying no. to people. Like, only you and Fezzi knew, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We tried to make it so that, like, no one had an edge up. Like, if we won and we put in the work and you guys trusted us to win, then, yeah, we're not telling you shit, especially if you wanted us to throw in Wes. And I already told Wes I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Why didn't you want to throw in Wes, though?
So Wes, like, last season kind of picked someone over me, telling me, like, oh, well, you know, I'd pick her over you. And I'm like, you've known her for a year, maybe. You know, you would think, like, he did his first challenge with me. Like, we've been doing this for 15 years. I talked to his wife. Like, I thought we had a friendship outside of this, but I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. So in a game, I wanted new winners. And if you're going to be in the way of me winning. Now, looking back on the first episode, like, yeah, he could have possibly been my partner at some point. But who's to say that he wouldn't have thrown himself in to get me away? You know, so there's so many different variables.
But this is a business. Like, this isn't all about friends. This is a business. Like, being a competitor on this show, $1 million, it's a business. So you have friends, you know my wife, you know my kids, you hang out, blah, blah, blah. But then it's a business. And I'm like, well, wait a second. If this is going to allow me, if I have to backstab you and you know this is a game, do you take it like, okay, my friend just backstabbed me? Or is it like, this is a business. It was a business decision. Like, how do you take that?
But you know, there are challenge friends and then there are real friends. And Tori's like somebody who, you know, I'll invite to my wedding friend. You know, she's somebody I call if I had an issue friend. There are some people that I don't have their phone numbers. I don't care if I ever do. Mm-hmm. And it's also a matter of like, who has my best interest? Like, yes, it's $1 million. But if Tori and I are in a final together and Tori wins over me, I'm going to be pissed that I don't have $1 million. But I'm happy that I lost to somebody I respect and I trust. And we played a fair game together.
Yeah.
Versus like having to jump through hoops.
What if Tori's put in a situation
where she has to, I'd understand.
Literally go like, okay, it's either me or I'm. Or Nisa has to
yeah.
One or the other.
I like, would get it.
You expect her to sacrifice herself?
I would get
No, absolutely.
No, if it's me or hurts, I'm going to try my best to win.
For sure, of course.
And that's it.
That's definitely the way it's got to go.
Not putting anybody in front of me. Those years are done.
So The Miz, I have a question for you because, you know, you're technically a challenge vet. You've seen and you've known a lot of these old cast members for a long time. What do you think about the rookies coming in and other people who are also vets trying to immediately go after the vets in this game?
It's not like I've always been under the like, I was always a target, so I understand, but you don't want to be a target.
Yeah.
Don't volunteer, because once you volunteer, the little roller coaster is going to start going. Everyone's going to go, oh, put it in. He volunteered. It's the stupidest thing you could possibly do. Like, I want to make a name for myself. I'm going to do it. You know, you just don't do that. You need to play the game. If you want to make it to the end, play the game. If your number gets called, then you own up. Then you start going for it.
We need to take some of these tricks and write them down. Should be like a Miz rule book and like, you know, get into that final.
Someone should write a book on all the rules and the things to do on a challenge and
that
things
would
not
be
to do.
You know,
on
but
a
they
challenge.
Change. The do's and don'ts change, I think. I mean,
you're
don't
right,
for
yeah.
sure. Don't eat mustard. Don't do crunches. And don't tell everybody you want to go in unless you really want
to
go in. And those are three don'ts.
That's standard right there. Yes. Standard fare.
It is so crazy.
So do you think your years of, you know, watching the challenge and being on the challenge prepared you for WWE?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think, you know, being on MTV, the real world, the challenges, it got me comfortable in front of a camera. You know, when I was on the real world, we had that little like confessional room I would go in there. And by the way, we had tapes back then. We didn't have the iPhones.
Oh, we had those VHSs
anymore. Like, there was no camera phones. We had real life, like, VHS tapes that you put in, you close it, you press record on the camera, and you start talking. Oh, like, we didn't have all this digital age stuff. So I would go in there, and it was funny. They would, like, they would mandate, like, you have to have two tapes a week. Like, you have to do two tapes a week. Mm-hmm. I would do, like, I still think I hold the record for literally the most ever in a season, because I would just go in there and just start cutting promos.
Wow.
And it was my practice to develop, like, into that character. So I would just, and honestly, it was like my therapist.
What?
Like, I would literally just go in there and start talking to a camera and telling him all the feelings, everything that's going on in my life, what's happening. And it would make me feel better when you walk out of it. Am I right, Anissa?
Yeah, I mean, they would force me in there because I already was just showing my ass on my show, literally and figuratively. Like, I gave them everything they needed, but they would be like, go in the confessional. I'm like, no, there's nothing that I want to tell my mom, you know, but I, clearly there were. But yes, you had to turn on that tape. You had to make sure. I was like, is it recording? Like, I didn't know what to do, but you would sit in there and talk to it. But I can't believe that you were like doing promo. Like, can they find that footage so we can watch it?
Please.
Oh my
God. Just a compilation of you.
You would not want to watch it, because a lot of times, like, obviously we would get a little hammered, if you will. You know, 20 something Mike was a little bit different than 40 something Mike. So yeah, I mean, literally, like, I would go in there and just cut promos the entire time, and it got me comfortable in front of a camera. And I think being on The Real World, being on the challenges, you know, it developed me and it gave me a brand. Like, and you know what I thought was the coolest thing too? You know, how supportive, like, even though we're going up against each other, and I don't know if it's still like that to this day, but we were a family. Like, we would go to these challenges, and even though, you know, I was going up against people would still support my love of being a WWE superstar. They would wear my shirts. They would wear the hats. Like, I brought them all there and I said, hey, wear it if you want, wear it if you don't. And everyone would wear it. I think they don't do that anymore because of me. But I think it's like, look, we can't do this anymore. But right. I would do that, and everyone would be so supportive of the career choice that I made and that I wanted to do. And people would amp me up and be like, yo, do the Miz, do the Miz, do the Miz. So then WWE can see me on national television doing the Miz, being the Miz. And then when I would come back home, I would be, you know, studying the art of professional wrestling. I would be doing improv classes, acting classes, because that's all that could get me to WWE. And finally, you know, WWE had a reality show called Tough Enough. And MTV wouldn't allow me to do Tough Enough because it was on the same network. And back then, you couldn't be on two shows at one time. Now, you look at this show, I'm like, you see someone from Love Island. You see someone from Survivor. Mm-hmm. You see someone from former WWE superstar. Like, you see all these formers. That never happened back then. Back then, you were allowed to be on The Real World and the challenges. And that was it.
Yes,
you weren't allowed to do anything else. Am I right, Anissa?
Yeah. Yeah. They pulled from Real World and Road Rules and then the challenge. And that was it. It was like a honor to go on the challenge. It was like your stepping stone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, you did your show. And if you got a call from the challenge, you were like, the shit.
Yeah.
Like, you got called for it.
Oh, man. Everyone was like, wait, you're on it? Wait, how did they get on? Man, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolute honor. And you would do, and we would do it for nothing. We were like going for like 50 grand, and honestly,
and
I was like,
skis.
Oh my God, 50 grand. This is the most money ever.
And a bicycle.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
oh
right?
My God.
You remember all the prizes? Like, I won
so
a bed that I
I've
just
never
got
gotten
rid
any.
Of like 5 years ago. Like, the bed I used for like 15 years.
Oh,
I've
gosh.
Never gotten any of my prizes. So if anyone's
really?
Listening to this, you guys owe me a bike, Johnny Mosley skis, and that trip to Greece. But you mentioned, you touched on Leo Rush. He came from WWE. Do you think it's harder for someone on WWE to go on the challenge? Or do you think it's harder to go from the challenge to WWE?
I think it depends on the person.
Mm.
You know, it all depends on the person. And I know Leo Rush, and I don't know him very, very well, but I know his abilities in the ring. And let me tell you something, that guy is a physical specimen and is very, very, very athletic.
Yeah.
Honestly, he is, I would say, if not the top, one of the top athletically gifted people on that challenge right now. And that's me knowing Wes, knowing CT, Like, that guy's abilities, I'd watch his matches and I'd be like, I can't do that.
Oh, damn.
Like, and then someone next to me would be like, no one can.
Damn.
Really?
I mean, his spirit animal, I said this earlier, he's an ant because he's tiny, but he can literally pick up things that look like 20 times his size. Like, he is good with what he can do. He was super impressive. When we saw him throwing around people the first episode, we were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? So, The Miz, do you have any...
I love, like, whenever you ask me a question, it's like, so, The Miz.
Yeah, because it's like, whoa, we're talking to The Miz. You know, The Miz. So, The Miz. Do you have any advice for challenge competitors now?
Yeah. Honestly, make sure you watch challenges before. Know who knows the game and get very close with them. Become friends with them. Do not put a target on your back ever. Do not never nominate yourself ever. Learn to play the game. And honestly, if you're going to get physical, learn to swim. How about that? Number one, learn how to swim. I feel like every time you go to these challenges and someone says, I don't know how to swim, I go, does this person not watch the challenge? There's always a swimming portion.
No, well, even in Iceland, like this episode, in 1 degree glacier water, we still had to swim. Yeah. You thought when you got someplace cold, you weren't going to have to swim anymore. They literally ask you before you go, what kind of swimmer are you? Bad, good, amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a bad swimmer, you can't swim, you shouldn't come.
Yeah. No. Or you should learn how to swim. I mean, that's rule number one. And to be honest,
or don't,
the best advice I can give anyone is have fun. Like, sometimes I think you're so involved with the game. Like, I remember my first challenge, I was so involved with the game that I was forgetting where I was, what I was doing, who I was with, what an opportunity it is, and how much fun this really is. I mean, we got to go to Cabo San Lucas. Yeah. And honestly, there was a hurricane at the time, and we didn't have any running water. They had to make makeshift, like, challenges for us because a lot of them weren't able to do because we were during a hurricane. But it was like, I was so involved in the game that I was forgetting, like, this is fun. This is fun to have fun.
Just from this interview alone, I have learned so much. Even listening to how you went about your interviews when you were first on The Real World, taping yourself, and then making sure that you were having people promote you for doing WWE from the challenge. Like, that is what it takes to break out and make a name for yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I whenever I go home to Cleveland, I have a buddy that really wants to be in the entertainment business. And I go, what do you want? And he goes, well, I want to be entertained. I go, what are the tools that will get you there? What are the tools that will get you into the entertainment aspect? And find those and figure out the tools. Like with WWE, I was like, okay, what can get me there? Learning the art of professional wrestling, number one. Improv, acting classes, doing things on stage where I can have an audience to learn that part. I would cut promos nonstop. I would be on camera, like I had a VHS camera that I would just put on a tripod and just start cutting promos. Then I would watch my promos back and be like, oh, I could have done this here, I could have done this there. Like, I study everything. You need to be a sponge and learn. And I think that's what some people do. And you got to sacrifice. There's sacrifice is the biggest thing. Sacrifice everything. Like, some people like say, like, the best advice I ever gotten was stick with it. And I was like, what a crappy advice. Stick with it. And then I was like, wow, I watched so many people go, my family, my friends, my job, this money, you know, all these, there's always an excuse. Always. You know,
totally. But I feel like, you know, just watching you grow, watching you become from going from The Real World to The Challenge to WWE and all the shows you've hosted and your own show and everything that you're doing, it's just so inspiring to watch you. So thank you so much for giving us the time, coming on the podcast, reliving a lot of the.
When I was asked, I was like, 100%. It was an honor. Like,
I love you.
MTV gave me my start. Buna Murray, John Murray, and Mary Alice Buna gave me my start. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for MTV. If it wasn't for The Real World, if it wasn't for The Challenge, if it wasn't for the people supporting me, the challengers, every single one. Anise has been on those challenges with me. Like when I was first starting, like if it wasn't for their support, like I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm always in debt to The Real World, The Road Rules, challenges, and the challengers, even the people today, the veteran, the veterans and the rookies, people keeping it going. Because that's a show that I think will develop into talents and people will be able to do the things that they love to do and want to do. So I'm forever in debt to MTV and the challenges, and I will always come and do whatever I can to, you know, make my presence felt, if you will.
Man.
Brent. Thank you so much.
I felt it. I almost cried. But it also goes to show that you worked your ass off too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to get handed to you. And it's kind of like with the challenge. Like, you got to work for what you want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't, but you kept on pushing. Exactly. You know?
Well, I look forward to watching more Double Agents. Both of you guys, hopefully to the end. Oh. I'm praying for, I have my fingers crossed for both of you. We'll see what happens. Honestly, I'm tuning in. Like, I love the show. Every time that, you know, TJ comes out, it like always warms my heart. Cause I mean, I think he's such an amazing host and such a person. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes,
a lot of people don't know this, but, so TJ and I became friends and he'll FaceTime me sometimes with one of these guys. That he goes out to lunch with. And it's basically one of his friends, and he just does an amazing thing with the kid. And he always FaceTimes me and goes, "Hey, my buddy wanted to talk to you," and I'm always talking to him. Pretty, he's a really good person.
Yeah, he's so got a good heart.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Great. Honestly, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Always,
your energy's infectious. Thank you so much for coming on here. We love you so much. Come back on the challenge.
You're amazing.
Be my teammate, homie. Let's get it.
I think I'm retired from the challenges. But I will always do the reunions. I'll always watch. Cool. And support.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll see you guys on more.
Yes.
Yes, you're an incredible host. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, The Miz was amazing. And I'm so happy he was able to come on our show and talk because he gave us some awesome insight. But before we close out of here, let's go into the Challenge Confidential because we have a secret for you guys that you're not going to hear anywhere else from this week's episode. And you know what that is, Anissa? Mother effing CT. He didn't get to play in this challenge. And you know what he did? He stood behind everybody at their podium, watched them crack open their kills out of that ice cube, and basically threatened everybody saying, "I'm going to tell you where everybody puts theirs, so be careful. Nobody's going to, I'm going to," basically holding it over our heads. Like, he instilled fear in all of us.
Maybe you, girl, but he was cheering me on. Like, "Oh, she got it." He was like, "Come on, I know you got it. Come on, I see you working out there. I see ya."
Dude,
I was working my ass off.
Yeah, you were, but he was out there and he was like, "I saw who did your kills. I saw who. I'm not telling you. Like, after he was like trying to have some power, and he made me nervous. Like, he is such a tactical player. He is the type of guy that will get in your head. If he wants to, he can absolutely do it.
Definitely, 1,000%.
Yeah.
So now's the time that we really like, where we get to hear a couple of questions from our listeners, and this segment's called Listener Transmissions.
Dun, dun, dun. Ding, ding, ding. Oh my gosh, one of the questions is, what are the timelines for each episode? It seems like we see 1 week in an episode, and that is wrong. You get like 3 days in an episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. You'll get the challenge, maybe some stuff from like the night before the challenge, the night we go out. Mm-hmm. And then the next day would be the elimination. So maybe 2.5 days, if you will.
Totally.
Unless something big happened and they need to like add it in. But for the most part, about 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, the calendar's so interesting because when we get there, depending on what day we arrive into the house, we usually know, okay, Monday's a challenge, Tuesday's elimination, Wednesday's an interview, Monday's a challenge. Thursday's a challenge.
You don't even know.
But no, I do know. Friday's an elimination, Saturday's interview, and
a day off, weirdo.
Okay, I'm fucking this up. What is
so it? Clearly Tori hasn't, not only did she bring her Sherpa short winter coat, she also doesn't know which days are which. So it's Monday challenge, Tuesday elimination, Wednesday interview, Thursday challenge, Friday elimination, Saturday day off, Sunday interview.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's it. And then it repeats.
That's exactly our schedule.
That's our schedule.
But when we get there, sometimes, especially with COVID, we may have a couple days off, and more so than usual this season. And everything from the first week can be put into the first 10 minutes and that's it.
Totally.
When it could have been a week long. So it really depends on, you know, what they want to show, what makes sense for the story.
Absolutely. This question kills me. Do you guys get hair and makeup? How do you guys look good for crazy shit? What?
Who look good?
Maybe Nam. Maybe.
I know.
I mean, Anissa, you
I look good.
Good
before the challenge starts. And then all of a sudden in Iceland, it would like to rain out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So my weave was done and laid. And then the rain came.
I feel like I look like a little boy when I compete. It's like I have like the brute strength of a man, and I look like a fifth grader. Like, it's
oh
like,
my God, you look so cute with your pony and like. No, I beg to differ.
Well, we definitely
not
don't.
Not a boy or a man, but you look like a Tory, a running Tory.
Thank you. Well, we don't get our makeup done or our hair done, but sometimes before we go into eliminations or before we go into the challenge, I mean, I like to put a little on my face because, you know, I'm going to be on TV. So I'm like, let me just try.
It's different when you're like making ugly faces in the elimination and like yanking something or breaking something or eating something or whatever in elimination. Yeah. But when you're only watching it, yeah, a cute lip, maybe like a twirl of the hair, maybe a lash.
A lash.
Because I mean, I won that when after winning the second time, I'm like, oh, your girl's gonna put a nice highlight on for this evening.
Yeah,
and do it up real nice.
Oh yeah, you got to, you got to, girl.
How about this lovely question? And I think this is the most common question I get. How was it having no electronics?
Amazing,
wonderful.
Take my phone away from me.
Necessary.
Yeah,
take it away from me right now.
Exactly.
It is just really puts things into perspective coming like in terms of problem solving. Like you have an issue with somebody, you really got to face it. You can't go off and look at Instagram or swipe or what. Like you actually have to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
If there's a question you don't know the answer, well, you know what? We just ain't going to know. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to trust that someone who told us they know really know what they're talking about.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I get asked a lot, like, how do you, as a challenger, keep your social media running when you're gone because you don't have your phone? I think a lot of people, audience members, get confused about that. But what we do, if you are like me and you do it, like, run business from your Instagram, is you just set up all of your posts before you leave. So I'll have months of content scheduled and ready to go. So that way when I'm gone, it looks like I'm home. And by the time I come home, people will DM me and be like, Tori, when did you leave? Because you've been here the whole time. But yeah, I just set my shit up so it's running while I'm gone. And then when I get home, then I'm like, I just jump right back into it.
Maybe you are a good liar.
Ooh, sneaky.
Sneaky Instagram girl. That's insane.
We're going
I don't have mine set up like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe next time.
Next time.
Or you can set it up for me.
Next time we're doing the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Anissa, this is an amazing episode. Congratulations on winning another challenge.
Thank
you are
you.
Literally running this season. I'm so happy to be your friend. You are crushing it. And plug your social. Let us know where we can follow you, girl.
I am Anissa MTV. That's AnneesaMTV at everything. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. Don't try and follow me or request me on Facebook. Don't really go on and no thanks. But yeah, the other things, find me there. That's where I'll be.
Yes. And for me, I am at Tori_Deal. I don't go on Twitter anymore. There's too many trolls, but come through on my Instagram, slide into my DMs. I try to answer if I can. I love all you guys. And send us questions. We love getting questions from you guys. We love engaging with you. And if we are able to, we will put your question in the podcast and we are happy to answer it.
Yes, we are. So remember, folks, watch new episodes of The Challenge every Wednesday and go behind the scenes with us, Anissa and Tori, the next morning on MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Woo, 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 woo. See you next week, guys.